This is the Roster Report podcast from Patriots.com. Don't know who got cut? We do. Not sure who was signed to the practice squad? Yep, we know that too. The Roster Report is your weekly guide to keep up with the Patriots roster from top to bottom. And now, here to keep you informed, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
I don't know if anybody has heard about this breaking news yet, but I think Paul and I should be the first to tell you that LeBron James has left the Cleveland Cavaliers.
That's crazy.
And he's going where, Paul?
Miami. I just saw it on the scroll.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Yeah, because I hadn't heard in the last,
Miami Heat.
17 hours.
Yeah, like I said yesterday during the show, I held out a glimmer of a chance for Cleveland. For some reason, I just kept saying to myself, why would he do it and make it, I mean, leave, whatever, that's your choice, free agency, I understand how it works, but to me, it was one final attempt to make it as difficult as possible on the people of Cleveland. And for that reason, I was like, is he really going to do it? He's going to make it this much of a
slap in the face
move to say, not only I'm leaving you, I'm going to do it in a one-hour spectacle of myself.
Yeah.
And he did. He was every bit as narcissistic as everybody thought, and everybody had been writing. And
did you watch any of the?
It was not a surprise to anyone. No, I watched very little. I did catch the actual announcement. I timed it right during a commercial of some House Hunters thing or something I was watching. That's how little I was.
Yeah.
I was interested in.
Beth made you watch that, right?
Oh no, she actually said to me.
At like turn the LeBron thing out.
She actually said to me about quarter of nine. Isn't that thing on tonight? Aren't we gonna? And I was like, I have no interest. I care a lot about where he goes as a sports fan. It matters a lot to me what he actually chose, but I didn't really care to see Stuart Scott get on his knees and Jim Gray get on his knees. I didn't even know Jim Gray would be part of it until I saw the interview last night. Really painful stuff.
When does the decision part 2.5 start with Brett Favre?
Well,
stop it.
I just kept saying I wanted so bad for Brett Favre to announce his retirement at 8:55 just to watch ESPN explode. What are we going to do? Which one goes on the deuce?
Schefter tweeted last night and goes, Brett Favre, when you're ready to do your own version of the decision, give me a call. I'll sit across from you.
He's playing. He's throwing with the silly high school kids down in Mississippi. He's coming back. Let's end this farce right now. And let's continue with
anyway,
the farce that we were supposed to start off with.
It is a farce because we don't have any roster news.
Which is our roster report. But with now less than 3 weeks to go before the start of training camp, Paul, we're continuing our series of
boy, that's sobering.
Positional previews, where we actually
preview
the positions heading into training camp. We're going to get two for you today because we're running out of weeks, and we still have a lot of positions to get to.
Got a lot of positions.
So we're going to go with pass catchers mostly, wide receivers, and tight ends today. Impressions, Paul. Overall, after having watched spring practices, OTAs, minicamp, etc., the wide receiver and tight end position this year compared to last year, what do you think the movement has been? Upward, downward, no movement at all? What would you say?
I think the potential is certainly there. I just think there are too many unknowns right now to make it.
Potential for what?
For improvement.
Okay. I just be clear on that.
Yeah, well, I don't want, usually I think when you say potential, it's positive.
I know,
potential,
I'm just busting
not
your
negative.
Chops.
But then again, that's me. I'm everything for
everything.
Patriots.com. So, unlike you and Andy, the masters of negativity.
Just trying to keep it real, man.
I think
I
there is some potential.
Anything but sports.
That is very, very accurate. But I think the potential is there for a significant improvement. I just think, Eric, we're going to have to wait at least through camp, probably longer, to see if Taylor Price, to see if Aaron Hernandez, to see if Rob Gronkowski, to see if Brandon Tate.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of ifs
right
there, none the least of which is the health of your most reliable, productive guy of the bunch in Wes Welker.
Right.
So I do think on paper it's better, and I think from what I've seen, Torrey Holt is a better veteran addition than Joey Galloway was.
Yep.
But the truth of the matter is we haven't seen any of that manifest itself on the field.
Yep, and I think as far as the tight end position goes, even though there are the question marks, I think starting out at least, they're already better than they were going into last year. You have the veteran presence in Algie Crumpler, who was very – I mean, despite his – larger than normal size for that position. He still can move around from what we've seen. He was a very athletic player at that spot for Atlanta and for Tennessee in the past. I like the move. I think he might even get the nominal start here and there throughout the season, though I think Gronkowski and Hernandez are going to be the ones get the bulk of the reps.
Yeah, when they run the ball, I would expect him to be on the field, and I'm certain there's going to be times where they're going to come out two tight end sets and try to run the ball at the beginning of the game.
But I already feel safer at that spot than I did with Benjamin Watson, Chris Baker, and
I'm not ready for that.
The cast of young and first round, players, first year players that they had going into last year.
Like I said, to me, it's all about potential, and I like what I've seen. I really like Hernandez, and I really like Gronkowski. I think they both look like good young athletes that can catch the ball, they can move, but I just am not ready to say they're better than Ben Watson and Chris Baker when I haven't seen either one of them with shoulder pads on yet.
Mm-hmm.
I can't make that determination until. Yeah, I see them block a little bit in training camp and get in the system and have to do all the things and perform. Bottom line, I haven't seen any of it yet.
One of those guys we had if questions about last year was Julian Edelman. Guy who'd never played the position before, was converting from quarterback, hadn't even returned. The first two punts that went his way, he dropped in training camp, and then he quickly turned things around there. From what I saw this spring, Paul, I don't know if you agree, but I think he looks a hell of a lot more comfortable now.
Yeah.
He looks like he belongs in the offense. He knows what he's doing. He's getting a lot of reps, a lot of work. I'm impressed so far with what I've seen of his year two jump, you and I are very
Andy would make fun of us, but don't tell me he's not at a level completely above what he was at this time last year. The year two jump has done him well, and good job by you because he was one of the guys I left out of that whole mix. I mean, I left Moss out too, but I did that intentionally.
Right.
I had completely forgotten.
Because he's not an if that we need to worry about.
Well, I mean, how much of a productive year you're going to have him is an if, but you know what he's going to do. He's the guy on the outside, hopefully occupying attention of the secondary. Edelman, to me, looks so much more comfortable in the offense. I think that he is now a wide receiver, and he knows it. He understands it. I talked to him a little bit about the whole transition from last year and, just how he said he spent so much time watching film of the position, just trying to learn
last year
how to play the spot in all offseason. Watching how to play the spot. And it's just was so incredible that you forget that he never played wide receiver. He was a quarterback. And, watching how quickly and seamlessly he made that switch, and I think if you look at him now, you'd never know. You'd just say, well, he's one of those wide receivers. He looks just like Welker. Is he as good as Welker? No.
No.
No. And that's not fair for either guy to say that, but he looks the part. He looks like a wide receiver. He looks like a slot guy who that's what he's done, that's what he's going to do, and that's what he's done all his life.
A testament not only to his athletic ability but to his football acumen
and work ethic and everything that goes into it. And the big question, if you want to stay with the theme of there's a lot of unknowns, the unknown for him is, can he withstand the punishment that Welker obviously could? Because Welker was catching 120 passes a year for 3 years,
getting banged up all along the road,
and it took a cut without getting touched,
ironically,
to get him hurt. He took many, many big hits and kept getting up. Well, Edelman has, I'm not saying that he can't, but we haven't seen him showcase the ability to catch 80, 90, 100 passes, get hit by linebackers on a consistent basis over the middle, and get up and play the next week. Last year, he was banged up. He was in and out of the lineup. He missed 4 or 5 games during the course of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Not his fault.
No.
But part of that position requires a durability that Welker showed.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see if Edelman has it.
All right, last week on the podcast, we had a special guest, Paul, Andy Hart from Patriots Football Weekly.
You know what? I had forgotten that, but that's a good point. And I actually missed the podcast, even though I was actually here.
Right. You just chose not to compete.
I chose not to participate.
Like
to
say.
So when he was here, I put him on the spot and asked him to tell me who would make the roster at the positions we highlighted last week, which was the defensive backs, both at cornerback and safety. So I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm going to say I think we're both not really going out on much of a limb here by saying all three of the tight ends that are in camp are probably going to make the team. Crumpler, Hernandez, and Gronkowski.
I believe that to be the case, and I would say initially, I would say Moss, Welker, Edelman, Holt, Tate, Price, and Aiken. And now I don't
should also mention, I'm sorry, that Rob Myers is first or second year guy who is on the roster at this point, but I think it's an uphill climb.
I don't
for him
give Rob much of a shot. No disrespect intended. I just think, as you pointed out at the beginning, that they've made some moves at tight end. I think that they've invested some resources there. I think those three guys are clearly ahead of him.
So we're looking at
seven guys maybe initially. I don't expect all seven of those guys. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think all seven of those guys will stay. And I also don't really consider Sam Aiken a receiver. He's more of a special
teams
specialist.
Well, that's one of the questions I was going to get to.
It's Moss, Welker,
right.
Edelman,
yep.
Price, Tate, and Holt is basically the six guys.
Okay, for the me. Solid six.
Yeah.
And then maybe one
and
guy
Welker
who's
Welker may
sort
be
of...
on PUP to start the year.
Okay.
So, you know, that might be how they get around
and
it.
And is there one guy who maybe goes from practice squad to regular, you know, bounces back and forth between active roster?
They had the guy
that.
On the practice squad last year, right?
Darnell Jenkins, yep.
You know, maybe he's...
Who's part of the mix again this year.
And he obviously is comfortable in the system, so maybe he shows enough that they still want to work with him. You always have receivers on the practice squad because they're athletes. You need guys like that to fill various roles in practice. So he would have a shot.
We should also mention
Farnham is here.
Yep, I was going to say
undrafted guy out of your favorite school that
right.
you didn't go to. See,
it's very hurtful.
I don't know why I get made fun of.
It's very hurtful.
Did you get in?
No.
Well, really, I didn't know that. Well, that's a little hurtful.
Yeah, it's a little hurtful.
That's a little hurtful. anyway,
that's hurtful.
We'll move
too.
Along. Now we have an awkward period because now I feel bad.
I bet you'll get over it pretty quickly.
Yeah, I'm already over.
He's already over it. Over what? We should also mention that though he has taken most of his snaps in the past at defensive back, Matthew Slater has been wearing the white jersey and been working out at wide receiver.
That is correct. I don't consider him a wide receiver. However,
it's a crowded field, though. It's a crowded field going into the summer.
Well, I think an interesting battle is going to be between Price and Tate, and maybe not for a roster spot because maybe they're both safe, provided that they can play a little bit, but for playing time. I think one of those guys, there's room to actually get some reps, and probably not both of them unless there are injuries. Now, if they're both really, really good, maybe you don't have a veteran. Maybe Torrey Holt doesn't make it, you know? I don't think that he's a lock for the roster. Now, I'd be very surprised. You know, if you ask me for a surprise cut.
Do you have a surprise cut, Paul?
Maybe Torrey Holt. Now, again, let's define surprise cut. A surprise cut is you in every single time you go on a show and someone asks you for a surprise cut, you give them an answer, you immediately get an incredulous look. You think Torrey Holt is going to get cut?
That's
and
why
I,
it's
and
a surprise
by
cut.
Saying, no, I don't.
That's
you
why it would be
a
surprise. Exactly.
Great.
You know, it's funny that reaction that you get any time that
that means it's a great pick.
That's one of the most common pre-training camp questions that you get on any kind of show.
Sure.
You know, we always write about it. It's a category, and you'll see it. If it's a surprise, then no. 9 guys out of 10 wouldn't say, I think that's going to happen.
Right.
I'm simply saying,
if it happened, I'd be surprised.
I can't say Matthew Slater would be a surprise cut.
No, because you wouldn't be surprised.
Because I think he's a roster bubble guy. You could go either way with him every year. Torrey Holt, to me, is a guy. If they need the veteran presence, he's a lock to make the roster. If they find, hey, you know what? These guys are pretty good. They don't need a veteran presence to sort of carry them along. Edelman is great in the slot, and Welker is ahead of schedule, so we don't need Holt's help in the slot. Tate and Price are really picking things up on the outside, so we don't need extra depth on the outside. I need that roster spot. He's not part of the future. He's probably a one-and-done guy. Therefore, makes him a candidate for a surprise cut. However, I love what I've seen of Torrey Holt so far.
And speaking of the veterans, how far along into camp does David Patton go?
I think he'll make it till the round of 75 is the first cut. Mm-hmm. I think he'll go in that out of respect to Patton. I think if Belichick has decided he's not going to make it,
He'll cut him earlier
give him a to chance, try to give him
maybe
a chance.
To go somewhere else.
And that's happened, you know, the year that they cut, Rohan Davey was in a group with a couple of other guys. Names are escaping me right now. There was a group of about 5 or 6 guys, and 2 or 3 of them were,
veteran
I don't
types.
Want to call them veterans, but they had been on the Patriots right. for 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. and he cut them early. And everybody was like, what? What? The first cut?
Yeah.
It's not really the first cut. It's the respect cut.
Yes.
For lack of a, you know,
an official
term. Because
there's time in the preseason for teams who might need
Kevin O'Connell
to fill
got
there.
Cut a little sooner rather than later last year, if you recall.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the round at the end, because that
right.
round at the end, a lot of times are guys that are they're younger guys, and some of them you want to grab back for your practice squad.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want them. You want them out there with 150 other guys. So maybe the names get lost in a pile, you know, on that waiver wire. And I think a lot of times when you have a guy like David Patton who you respect, I think he has a very small chance. And to me, it's all about injuries
mm-hmm.
for David Patton. And yeah. I love David Patton, but I just think his time has come.
And our time has come, Paul. That's pretty much the end of this podcast. But
good
before
news.
We leave you, yes.
Andy Hart will be rejoining? No, maybe not.
Oh, I don't want to make that kind of prediction.
Maybe
boy,
not.
Boy, that's a training camp prediction you don't want to make, because we're not even sure he'll show up for training camp.
It might be in 2 weeks that he'll be back.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But as we are wont to do.
That's wont with an O.
On this podcast, we have to tease our debate
Eric.
Friday.
Oh, okay.
Which will be posted very shortly on Patriots.com. Supplemental draft. Coming up this coming Thursday, and we're going to talk about that on Debate Friday. So check it out on Patriots.com a little bit later today.
A little unga bunga talk.
As always, fans will get a chance to let us know what they think by voting in the poll. But for now, that's going to do it. We'll be back a week from today. Maybe with Andy Hart, maybe not. Who knows? Who really cares?
I will not be here next Friday, so you'll be fine
solo.
Oh,
all right, so maybe I do care. So I can have somebody to talk to other than Doc.
Maybe Fred.
No. We need somebody here who knows the positions and who's on the team. And next week we'll probably get into go back on the defensive side and talk about probably the defensive line. And maybe we'll even get into the offensive line, too, make a little transition there.
All right.
But we'll talk to you then. Enjoy the weekend.
Can y'all feel me? All ages and races, real sweet faces, every different nation, Spanish, Haitian, Indian, Jamaican, black, white, Cuban, or Asian.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.